Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. We want to encourage you to visit MediaTalk101.org. Once again, that's MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated. And you can also find a link to our new event, the 2014 Christian Worldview Film Festival, which is also found at ChristianWorldviewFilmFestival.com. Now, that's a mouthful. I'm your host today, Philip Telfer, founder and director of Media Talk 101, and I'm back in the studio with my friend and co-host, Rhett Simpkins. And this week, I got a question for you, Rhett. What can you do with 45 minutes?
Well, just a little bit ago, I spent about 45 minutes chopping wood.
Oh, that's a great thing to do. I miss chopping wood. I mean, maybe that doesn't sound like a great thing for most people, but that was also that was one of my more enjoyable things to do, especially during winter. Go out and chop some wood. Mm-hmm. 45 minutes. I mean, you can make a meal in 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I like to cook. My kids like to cook. My wife likes to cook. And I mean, some things take longer than 45 minutes, but I think generally you could get a meal together in about 45 minutes. I mean, so what else? You got any other ideas?
You could maybe play a board game.
Yeah, I mean, some, you know, not Monopoly.
Or
in our house, Scrabble takes a long time.
Chess. Yeah, that can take a long time.
Oh, yeah. I have this annual chess game with my brother Adam, and it definitely takes more than 45 minutes. But, I mean, some of the simpler games that you can play with younger children, that can be under 45 minutes. So any other ideas? I mean, actually, I just did some calculations because I was wondering, how many 45 minutes are there in a day? Well, you know, we need to sleep. So let's subtract the, the 8 hours for sleeping. So that's 16 hours. And so you take 16 hours. Well, you got to convert that into minutes if you're going to do the 45 minutes. So I did 16 times 60, and I got 960, and you divide that by 45, and you get approximately 21 45-minute segments during the day. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Of course, you work, and I'll tell you what I'd like to spend 45 minutes doing even now. Taking a nap.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Although 45 minutes, you know, it's just about the right length. You take too much longer than that, and you get into that really deep sleep that you feel worse when you wake up. Well, So 45 minutes, what can you do? I mean, our podcast listeners, maybe you can think of some things, and you can't interact with us, but you think about 45 minutes, and we've got, and 45 minutes is about 3% of your day. And So it's not a whole lot of time, but there's quite a few things that you can do with that time. And what we want to talk about today is spending 45 minutes a day reading God's Word. How about that?
Yeah.
Now, is that a noble goal?
I think so.
Is it unreasonable?
No, but I think sometimes it can be difficult to do that, even though it seems like it's not too much time of your day just to sit down and make it happen.
That's exactly the point. I mean, 45 minutes really isn't that long, but to carve out some time to read God's Word for 45 minutes, that can be a challenge. Now, I remember, Rhett, you and Emily both attended some training out in California, and didn't they make you read a lot of the Bible? What was their program?
Yeah, every day we had an hour set aside just to do a personal devotion. So we had, an hour to read our Bibles every day, and that was a really good habit to get into.
Was it hard to get into that habit?
No, because it was scheduled into our day.
Okay. And did you regret it? Did you regret spending that time?
Absolutely not, no.
Okay. Well, generally we don't. You know, I don't know anybody, a Christian anyway, who you regret spending time in God's Word. It's just the problem is finding the time to carve out. And interestingly enough, I grew up in a Christian home, and so we had Bibles all around the house. I went to church all the time. And by the time I got to the age of 17, I was a senior in high school, And I became, that's when I became a Christian, and I began to follow the Lord. I realized that I had never read the Bible all the way through, even though I'd grown up in a Christian home. I mean, so that's 17, obviously I'm not reading at 1 or 2 or 3 years old, you know. And so, you know, you start reading around 5 or 6 years old, and certainly you're not going to find a six-year-old just cranking through a lot of scripture. But even by the time you're 12, you know, you can read pretty good. And I was a pretty established reader by the age of 12. And so even between the ages of 12 and 17, I had not read through the scripture. And it occurred to me, boy, I probably ought to do that. Because if I'm going to grow in discernment, how am I going to do that if I'm not reading God's word? I mean, isn't that where we're going to gain wisdom and understanding and knowledge and the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, so that we could have discernment? So I set out on a goal to read through the Bible. And I did that by just determining that my elective reading, because I was still in high school at the time, so there was required reading, but I figure if I had any elective reading time, I would only read the Bible. And I don't know how long it took me. It took a long time, but I finally read through the entire Bible. And it was, and I was glad that I did. But then, since then, I've always been a person who spent time in God's Word. But several years ago, it was about 6 years ago, I was speaking to a group of high school students at a Christian school, and I quoted a statistic that I had learned that is shocking to me. But I use this in comparison, because in this presentation, I was talking about a lot of media consumption statistics that we've shared on this podcast, you know, like the average, you know, high school or average teenager consumes 7.5 hours of media every day. You know, that's 53 hours a week. That, you know, children, even young children under the age of 3 are watching 3 to 5 hours of television a day. There are so many things that consume time. And as a comparison, I gave the statistic that the average reader could read the Bible out loud in about 75 hours. And you know, isn't that shocking?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like very much.
75 hours. So, well, you know, I throw out that statistic to encourage the young people to get in the Word. You know, if you're spending 7.5 hours a day consuming media, certainly you should be able to carve out some time to spend in God's Word. Well, interestingly enough, that one of the students, a young lady, when she heard that, it provoked this thought in her, like, wow, if I read the Bible for 1 hour every day, I could read the Bible in 75 days. I'm going to do that. And so she set a goal to read the Bible 1 hour a day. And she wrote our ministry and shared with us that that's what she was inspired to do after hearing that statistic. And I got convicted. I mean, when I'm like, wow, I mean, it's easy to quote a statistic like that and to spout off some impressive comparison, but it's another thing to apply it personally. And I was like, wow, what could I do that? What would I endeavor to spend an hour a day for the next 75 days and read through God's word? Well, you know, I kind of went gulp, and I came up with a better idea. At least what I thought was a better idea was a personal challenge to read the Bible through in 101 days. Because, you know, Media Talk 101, it'd be a little more cushion than 75 days, but certainly a challenge. So I set out to do it. And that first year, I got online, and I actually found several websites where you can create custom Bible reading plans. And so I found one where I could put in 101 days, and then you could also put in, do you want to read Genesis through Revelation, or do you want to read a little bit of Old Testament plus a little bit of New Testament, or my favorite is reading some Old Testament, some New Testament, and either some out of the Psalms or Proverbs. And so I put together a reading plan. I think that first year I went Genesis to Revelation and created a custom plan, and I began to read through the Bible. And I decided what I was going to do was time myself. Because this whole idea of reading through the Bible in 75 hours, it's still a little shocking. And I'm not a fast reader, so I'm like, I really want to know. I mean, is this true? You can actually do this? So every time I sat down with my Bible and I had my little Bible reading plan, I actually had a stopwatch with me for the next 101 days. And I started the stopwatch when I started reading, and I stopped it when I was done, and it even kept running all the times I nodded off in books like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, or you know, some of the more difficult books to kind of get through. They're long and sometimes confusing, and so if I found myself nodding off and then waking up, I mean the stopwatch was still running. But I set a goal. And I finally finished the Bible at 101 days. Now, it was not easy. First of all, you don't want to get behind. You don't want to miss a day. Because as soon as you miss a day, now you got to dedicate an hour and a half, you know, to reading or ramp up progressively that amount of time. So that was one thing I learned. But when I took the total amount of time that it took me to read the Bible, even falling asleep, even reading somewhat slowly, it was only 74 hours altogether, 74 hours over 101 days, which was about 45 minutes a day on average. So there we have it. That's why I started out this podcast with what can you do with 45 minutes a day? I mean, 45 minutes a day, you could actually read the Bible in 101 days. And but it's not easy. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, Rhett. You're on staff here at Media Talk 101. Have you taken the Media Talk 101 Bible Reading Challenge?
Yes, I have taken it, and I didn't make it.
Okay, but you probably got a lot of reading done, didn't you?
I did. Yeah,
and I don't think it probably did you any harm.
No, not at all. And I'll probably try it again. Actually, I'm sure I'll try it again. I just haven't, you know, set a date to start doing that.
So rev your engines. And here's the point. You know, if you don't read the Bible in 101 days, you've not committed any crime. You know, you've not failed. You've succeeded. If you were trying and you're reading and it's compelling you to read. But I just know that we're people are funny, you know, and we tend to do better when we set goals. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just speaking as a man, you know, I know God has kind of wired men and women differently, but so let me just say, I do better if I set goals, if I have a challenge. And I think that that's the case generally in life, whether it's sports or other things that you're trying to achieve, you set goals and you have a challenge that keeps you going when you say, wow, I just don't want to do this right now. But then if you're thinking, I really want to read through the Bible in 101 days, then you press on. So I want to encourage our podcast listeners that this is not going to be a 45-minute podcast. So last week was really long. I think last week was our longest podcast.
Yeah, it was.
I thought, wow. But it was about the gospel. So that's important. If you're going to have a long podcast, make sure it's one about the gospel. So that's what we did. But this isn't going to be 45 minutes. This is a short podcast where I want to encourage our podcast listeners to get in the Word of God, to possibly consider this 101-day through the Bible challenge. And you can find that at our website, mediatalk101.org. It's under Action Steps. So if you hit the big button on the front page, there's several buttons, and one of them says Action Steps. And that'll take you to, and if you just scroll down, you'll see the Media Talk 101 Bible Reading Challenge. And one of the things that we've provided there, actually three things that we've provided, are downloads of three different reading plans. One is reading through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, in 101 days, or reading the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, or the Old, New, and some Psalms or Proverbs, which is my favorite, which I mentioned already. But you can download those. It's a PDF file. You just print it off. If you're clever enough, you can do the two-sided printing and put it on one piece of paper, fold it in half, stick it in your Bible, and then set a date and go for it. Now, I'm like a checklist person, so I live by, you know, checklists. They're very helpful for me. So this is a custom, this is a Philip Telfer special Bible reading plan, and I thought through what will help me. And so the way this is designed is that you have one column. The first column has the day, you know, so days 1 through 101. Then there's a second column, and it is a checkbox that's there to check off the day. So regardless of whether you did your reading or not, you check off the day so you can keep track of the days. So in case you get behind, you can have a visual to see, wow, I need to catch up here. And then there's the second column is another little checkbox, and that's for filling in once you've completed that day's reading. And then there's three more columns, at least in this version, where it has Old, New, and Psalms and Proverbs each day. There's going to be columns to tell you what to read to stay on track. And, you know, it's about 11 or 12 chapters of reading a day. Of course, chapters vary, but on average, it's about 11 or 12 chapters. So that's kind of what you're getting into. But one of the things I really love about getting through the Bible in a short amount of time like this is the bird's eye view you get of Scripture. Because oftentimes we're reading Scripture and we're reading a little bit here, a little bit there, but when you read a lot of it in a short amount of time, you begin to see there's all these connections, and you begin to, what's real exciting is when you're reading the Old and the New Testament each day, and you begin to see cross-references, you know, without mm-hmm. needing to look at the cross-references. You're like, hey, wait a minute, I just read about that. Or, oh, wow, this applies to this over here. And so that's great. Now, I don't believe that this is the only way you should read your Bible. I do like to slow down. And so what I've done, actually for the last 4 years now, it's been 4 or 5 years that I've been doing this every year, reading through the Bible in 101 days. And it's not like I get to 102 days and stop reading the Bible. You know, it's not like, okay, got it done for the year. I'm all done. It's when I get done with it, then I pick a book that I want to go and I want to study a little deeper. And I'll read it slower. And I'll make sure that I have a pad of paper to make notes. And also, during this time, I'm also teaching the Bible. You know, so I'm studying other things as well in God's Word, but it's certainly nice to get that overview by just reading lots of Scripture, but you also need to, you know, focus in and do some reading. And we also, as a family, read through the Bible. We don't go very fast. We read a chapter. You know, when we do meet, and sometimes we have days that we miss, but when we have our family time together, we sit down and I read a chapter of the Bible to my family. And we have this book, it's called Balancing the Sword, and it's a great book. It just has a bunch of questions that are objective questions based on the chapter, so it's got something for every chapter of every book of the Bible. And I read the questions, I read the chapter, and then I ask the kids. We start with youngest to oldest, and the youngest has the first opportunity to try to answer the question. And so we do that every day as well. And just want to encourage you in the new year to make a Bible reading a priority, you know, to get in God's Word. One of the things that really stood out, I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to hear a message by a man named Ray Vanderlaan. Have you heard that one, Rhett? Ray Vanderlaan, Follow the Rabbi?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so when I first heard Ray Vanderlaan's talk, Follow the Rabbi, he makes mention of being around a group of, I think it's when he was studying like Jewish practices, and he was, you know, correct me if you remember this story differently, but off the top of my head, it was like he was studying rabbinical practices, and so this was with some Jewish people, and he was like the one Christian in the group, and they were shocked that Christians don't spend more time reading their scriptures, even though that they may not agree that the New Testament is valid. But And so I think someone had challenged him in that group. He says, boy, if I was a Christian and I believed that this was God's word, I'd be reading through the Gospels, you know, once every month, you know. And it was something like that. You could find that teaching. And I realized, like, wow, yeah, we say we're Christians. We say we follow Jesus. But how much time do we actually spend in his word, studying his word, digging in, letting it affect us and transform us? And so, you know, do you have anything that you want to share, Rhett, of just experiences that you've had from how God has used Bible reading or Bible memorization or even study where it's just had a lasting impact in your life?
Well, I will just say that, you know, reading through it like that, like you said, with the overview, kind of that bird's eye view, is just so important. I remember the first time I approached reading scripture that way, it just gave me such a holistic sense of what was going on, because I often just get hung up on verses. And so if I don't understand something, it kind of trips me up. But reading it all the way through was just so helpful, you know, to just step back and look at the big picture.
Amen. So let's close with some quotes from some of our some great men in the past in our nation. Some of them founding fathers, and some of them just other great leaders. Noah Webster. I saw my children reading a biography of Noah Webster recently, and a godly man. And one of the things that he wrote is this. He said, "All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." So here we have it, Noah Webster, you know, just nailing it there and recognizing that the issues, the struggles we're facing, even in our own day, comes from a neglect of God's word. Abraham Lincoln said, "In regards to this great book, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it." Then we have John Quincy Adams, who said, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year." And he was doing that because he wanted his kids to be useful citizens and respectable members of society, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But hey, let's add to that list, you know, fruitful members in the kingdom of God, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so Andrew Jackson said, "The Bible is the rock on which this republic rests." George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." And one of my favorite quotes is actually from one of our founding fathers named Elias Boudinot. And this is from a much larger, longer quote, but this is a compressed version of it. He says, "In short, were you to ask me to recommend the most valuable book in the world, I should fix on the Bible as the most instructive, both to the wise and ignorant. I would make it, in short, the Alpha and Omega of knowledge." And so that we end on the high note, the highest note possible. It's great to quote these guys, but I'd like to quote the Apostle Paul, who wrote to 2 Timothy and said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So once again, we just want to encourage our podcast listeners. We want to wish you we already wished you a Merry Christmas, a blessed New Year, and part of that blessed New Year will be found in digging deeper into God's Word. And maybe in a subsequent podcast, we can talk about some of the other spiritual disciplines like prayer and other things, but we wanted to take this time to place a focus on God's Word. So God bless you, and we will hope that you join us next week.
You've been listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. Click on the audio tab to get a free download of Philip's audiobook, What Wouldn't Jesus Do? Media Choices in the Light of Following Christ. And if you haven't seen our award-winning documentary Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, be sure to order your copy today. Parents Television Council calls it deft and powerful, and numerous moms, dads, and pastors say it's a must-watch for every Christian family and church. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org.